injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
Welcome to another podcast at SliceOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers, Madison Teachers Incorporated, our friends at Madison Firefighters Local 311, Madison Teamsters, and of course, many great sponsors like S&R Remodeling and our friends at St. Vincent de Paul. Joining us right now, he's an attorney, he's a former prosecutor, and he's running for Attorney General Josh Call, who I've endorsed on the live line with us. Josh, thanks for talking today.
Thanks for having me, Sly, and congrats on the new radio show, by the way.
I thank you very much. I got a number of radio shows that I'm doing now. Life's a little crazy. Welcome to the 21st century. Why don't you introduce yourself to people? Why don't you tell us what you've done with your life? Far more than me, I might add.
Well, I grew up in Oshkosh and Fond du Lac. I grew up in a law enforcement family. You know my mother well, Peg Lautenschlager, who spent a lot of her career as a prosecutor and in public service. My stepdad, Bill Ripple, was a police officer for a lot of his career. And both of my mom's parents were public school teachers in Fond du Lac. So there was a heavy emphasis at the dinner table growing up on law enforcement and public service. I went to public schools myself in Fond du Lac. I played high school football and baseball. I was a fullback and a first baseman. And I was inspired by, you know, what I saw my mom and my stepdad doing and the impact that they were able to have through law enforcement.
You know what's interesting about your mom and dad? You know, a lot of people, when they're in politics, they do things in kind of an obligatory fashion because they know it makes them look good. Your mother and stepfather never, even when your mother was out of politics, never stopped donating and volunteering. Ever.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't be prouder of my mom, Sly. She spent her entire life working hard on behalf of working folks in Wisconsin. And so I'm proud of her, like I think any son would be. And like I said, I was inspired by what they did. I spent part of my career as a federal prosecutor in Baltimore, which, as you know, is one of the most dangerous cities in the country. I prosecuted large-scale drug traffickers, gang members, and murderers. And then I've spent the last several years doing voting rights litigation around the country, going to court to make sure that people's fundamental rights are protected, that people who are eligible to vote are able to cast a ballot and have it counted.
Explain your background and how you think it comports with the Attorney General's office. And a lot of people have a lot of misconceptions about the Attorney General's office. And I'm afraid campaign ads haven't done much to enlighten people over the years and what the office actually entails.
Yes, the Attorney General fundamentally oversees the Wisconsin Department of Justice, and it's often referred to as the top cop, and that's because the AG is responsible for a lot of critical law enforcement functions. That includes overseeing the crime labs in the state. It includes being involved in training and standards for law enforcement. The AG oversees a criminal investigation unit, the Division of Criminal Investigation, or DCI. The AG also oversees the Office of Crime Victim Services. But the AG is also the top lawyer for the state. So the AG oversees the criminal litigation unit and the criminal appeals, all criminal appeals in the state. But the AG also enforces laws that protect Wisconsinites in areas aside from crime. That includes enforcing our environmental laws, enforcing laws that protect consumers, enforcing antitrust laws. And then the AG...
You're breaking up just a little bit there, Josh.
I'm sorry, Sly. I was saying the AG also represents the state if laws are challenged or if we go to court to challenge laws that impact Wisconsinites that are unconstitutional or violate other laws.
It's a partisan office as far as how you are elected. How do you balance being an elected Democrat, or in Brad Schimmel's case, an elected Republican, with making sure that you have an even hand for the 5.5 million people that live in Wisconsin, a very diverse state?
I think fundamentally the AG has got to approach his or her job as somebody who is not a partisan. The AG has to be independent. The AG has to be even-handed in enforcement of the law. You know, when I was a federal prosecutor, it never mattered to me whether the people I was prosecuting were Democrats or Republicans. You see a violation of the law and you enforce the laws fairly. The AG has to have that attitude. Where I think there are going to be some differences are based on values. You know, I think we need an AG who is hardworking, who's honest, and who's going to be focused on fighting for the hardworking men and women of the state and being an independent watchdog where it's needed, and we certainly need it in Wisconsin.
Some issues that used to be bipartisan, and let me just use labor rights because, you know, that's one that's near and dear to my heart, used to be viewed as bipartisan. And while there were varying degrees of disagreement or agreement, most people commonly understood that collective bargaining rights is an important thing for workers to have and that workers should be treated with respect. I noticed, and not many candidates do this anymore, you put out a very strong statement on Labor Day using a Martin Luther King quote, talking about how labor and workers have enriched the nation, not taken away from it. Viewing how polarized Wisconsin is and how, in fact, Scott Walker, and I assume Brad Schimmel agrees with him, and J.B. Van Hollen have really done everything they can to make sure that workers' voice has been suppressed, is it still easy for you to say that you come at this from a bipartisan position in your support of workers?
You know, I think that you're right that the question of whether standing up for working people in the state has somehow become politicized. But, you know, I've been talking to people from throughout the state, and everywhere we've gone, people have known that our leaders in Madison right now are just not standing up for the hardworking men and women across the state, and that's something that needs to change, that we need somebody in a position of leadership who's going to be focused on fighting for Wisconsin families rather than fighting just political battles. And it's bad for law enforcement. You know, Act 10 has undermined our law enforcement because it makes it harder for law enforcement to get a fair deal at the negotiating table.
I think Act 32 within that deal made health care off the table. Firefighters and police could no longer negotiate that.
That's exactly right. And in the long term, that's going to mean it's harder to recruit and retain great law enforcement officers. We're fortunate to have very good police and deputy sheriffs across the state. My stepbrother Jason is one of them in Winnebago County, I'm proud to say. But we've got to make sure that those folks know that we've got their back.
Well, as long as we're on law enforcement, let me ask you about that. You know, everything gets nationalized now, and after Ferguson, when there were high-profile cases in Madison or Milwaukee with police shooting, it became very hostile. And I've always supported law enforcement, but not blindly. Obviously, there are serious problems with racial profiling and other issues. But I wasn't very happy with some people on the left and the way they treated police officers with a rather blanket approach of condemnation. What's your view on this? And are you happy with the system that is now set up when there's a police shooting and the Department of Justice gets involved as they did with the Tony Robinson shooting in Madison?
So let me start with your last question. I do think it makes sense to have DCI conducting these investigations. They are professional. They do a very thorough, good job, and I think we should continue with that system. You know, I come at this from a slightly different place than most people. As I talked about earlier, I grew up in a law enforcement family. As a federal prosecutor, I worked regularly with law enforcement officers, with detectives, with special agents. And as I mentioned, my stepbrother is a police officer. And I can tell you firsthand that the vast majority of law enforcement officers are hardworking, they're diligent, and they want to make communities that they work in safer and more secure. I've also done civil rights work, and I've worked to challenge laws that make it harder for folks to vote. And too often, those laws suppress the votes of people in minority communities. What I think our AG needs to do, Sly, is bring people together. I think it's in the interests of both law enforcement and people in communities throughout our state to work together to do what we can to find good solutions and reduce these shootings to the extent that we can. But I think people have to come to it in good faith and with an understanding that this is something we can improve upon as long as we're working together.
People jump to automatic sides now, and that's really destructive because each one of these cases is very different.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. That is, if this is viewed as a political football, and far too many folks in Madison and across the country have tried to use this to, you know, as a political weapon, we're never going to solve this problem, and we're never going to make the situation better. You know, one thing I will tell you is when I was a prosecutor, I saw the value of community policing, and that's something that's been really effective in certain neighborhoods in Milwaukee. When you have police officers and people in communities in the state and in cities working together, that builds trust, and it makes situations like this less contentious when they occur. And it also helps fight crime, because when there are good relationships between law enforcement and the community, the police get more information about what's going on and can help target people who are responsible for directing violence or for supplying drugs or whatever the case may be.
Let me ask you what type of campaign you're going to run, because I hear judicial candidates and some candidates that run for attorney general or district attorney say tough on crime, tough. Because you have a prosecutor background as opposed to maybe public defender or defense attorney, do you understand how that could be off-putting to some in that, in fact, the Department of Justice is just that? It's not about being tough. It's about being fair.
You know, the way I like to phrase it, Sly, is that I think we need the Justice Department to get back to focusing on protecting Wisconsin families. Right now, I don't think our Department of Justice is being very effective when it comes to fighting crime in a variety of different areas. As you know, you're well aware, and I think you've talked about, there's a massive backlog in testing rape kits in this state. We have thousands of untested kits. We've received millions of dollars to test those kits. And in Brad Schimel's first 2 years in office, only 9 of those kits were tested. That's just inexcusable.
What's his excuse?
You know, they have come forward with a variety of bureaucratic excuses. They've said that they sent out surveys and that they didn't get them back very quickly. But the bottom line is that this is just a failure of leadership. You know, if this is an issue that our AG is prioritizing, the AG needs to be on the phone making sure that this is moving forward, that the kits are getting tested, and that victims are having justice done, and that dangerous criminals on the street are being prosecuted, if we can prosecute them. There are states and jurisdictions in other parts of the country that have had backlogs, too. They've handled this issue much more effectively. In Detroit, even, not the model for effective government, usually, the kits were tested much faster, and convictions resulted from that process.
So right now, we could be solving some crimes, but we're not, because of the lack of leadership from the current attorney general.
That's my view, yes. And on top of that, it was recently reported that the standard DNA testing process, we had received assurances that was not falling behind, but it turns out that the number of DNA cases waiting more than 2 months to be tested has increased sevenfold since Brad Schimel became AG. So that means that it takes longer to get results in the hands of law enforcement, and in some cases it almost certainly means that it's going to take longer to find out who's responsible for certain crime.
We'll speak more with Josh Call, candidate for Attorney General for 2018 on the Democratic side, right here at SliesOffice.com. Brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
You're listening to another podcast. It's SliceOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Great local sponsors like Madison Computer Works and the Axley Law Firm. Joining us again, Attorney Josh Call, who is running for Attorney General next year. Who have you gotten support from so far in your race?
We have publicly announced support from a number of elected Democrats around the state. Representative Pocan here in Madison, Gwen Moore in Milwaukee, and we'll soon be announcing support from several other Democrats, including one of America's great senators, Russ Feingold.
So far, no word on Leah Vukmir.
Leah Vukmir has not yet weighed in on the race one way or the other, nor has David Clark.
Really? Oh. Yeah. Let me ask you about the attorney generals have to make a decision whether to defend unpopular laws or laws that they hate, that they never would have voted for if they had been in the legislature. What's going to be your guiding principle on that?
As a general matter, I think the AG's responsibility is to defend the laws of the state, even if he or she doesn't like them. There is an exception to that, which is if a law is blatantly unconstitutional and there is just no defense to the law, the attorney general has an ethical obligation not to go into court and raise a defense that can't be justified. But I think whenever the AG can defend a law in good faith, that he or she can do so. And I'll tell you, I litigated a case in which I was involved in challenging a voter ID law in Virginia, and the Democratic attorney general there didn't defend the law. And what happens is, instead of having the AG's office defending it in a straightforward, fair manner, the legislature there brought in an outside law firm, and I thought it would have been better to have the AG defending it. So wherever the AG can do so, I think he or she should defend the laws.
Can you think of a case, for instance, what would you have done over Act 10?
I would have defended Act 10. I think that there is a good faith basis for doing so. I want to be absolutely clear that I think Act 10 is a bad law, and I would have advocated against it. But I think it's the AG's duty to defend that rather than having the legislature bring in some outside law firm at a great expense to the taxpayers, because then you've got this outside firm taking positions on behalf of the state instead of having the state's elected AG deciding what positions to take. I don't think that's right.
There were a number of different cases with Act 10. What about the fact that Judge Schumi made the case that, in fact, they didn't pass it legally?
So I haven't analyzed that particular decision, I will admit to you, Sly, but what I would do is I would sit down and look at the facts of the case and whether there's a justifiable defense. If there were not one, that's when I think the AG's got to go to the legislature and say, you've either got to act differently or there's no defense. But if there is a justifiable basis, I do think the AG should raise that defense.
So these are very important decisions, judgment calls that you have to make. You know, I hear Senator Johnson and I hear Brad Schimmel and I hear Scott Walker use this meme constantly that, you know, balls and strikes, we're just calling them as we see them. It's not that simple, is it?
No, that's definitely not true. That definitely is true, what you're saying. You know, there is some judgment that goes into deciding when a law is constitutional or not. And frankly, having, you know, skilled lawyers who've done this sort of work helps in making those calls accurately. You know, the other thing is we keep hearing that same refrain that you've mentioned, but it's actually just not true that Brad Schimmel has always defended the actions of the state when he's in office. He's refused to defend Tony Evers, for example, on a recent decision made by the Department of Public Instruction. So Tony Evers' lawyers had to go into court and defend their decision on behalf of DPI, and they actually won that case. So, you know, Schimmel was actually mistaken about that, it looks like, and should have been fulfilling his duty, but wasn't.
You have been critical. By the way, we're talking to Josh Call here at SlysOffice.com, candidate for Attorney General. You have been critical of Attorney General Schimmel using state resources to go after the federal government. Why?
I think that he's made some really poor choices about where to go after the federal government. As I said before, I think that the AG needs to be an independent watchdog who is standing up for the people of this state. But it can't be somebody who's controlled by special interests. You know, Brad Schimmel's first deputy attorney general was a corporate lobbyist. He's now lobbying for Foxconn, which is his right, of course, but I don't think that's the person who should be helping to run the Department of Justice. And everything we saw from the lawsuits that Brad Schimmel brought against the federal government were consistent with an office that's being run for corporate special interests, not for the people of the state. There were several lawsuits challenging aspects of the Affordable Care Act. There was a challenge to environmental rules. There was even a challenge to a rule guaranteeing overtime pay to people who make between $23,000 and $47,000 a year and put in the hours. I don't think that that's in the interests of Wisconsinites. And since Donald Trump has come into office, we've seen nothing but silence from Brad Schimmel when it comes to standing up to the federal government.
You were also quite critical of Attorney General Schimmel for not making any statements about some of Donald Trump's actions after the Klan and neo-Nazis were so violent in Charlottesville, Virginia.
That's right. I think that the actions we saw in Charlottesville from, like you said, neo-Nazis and white supremacists are disgusting. And everybody in elected office has a duty to stand up and condemn those acts. But there's especially a duty, I think, for the AG to do so because, first of all, this is a state that has seen hate crimes. We just celebrated the five-year anniversary of the awful shooting in Oak Creek. So I think for that reason alone, the AG should be condemning it. And I also think that, you know, when law enforcement has to respond to protests that are done by these groups, it puts law enforcement in a dangerous position. So for that reason as well, we need an AG to stand up and condemn this. And let me just say, you know, when I got into this race, I was not expecting we would have a debate about whether or not Nazis and white supremacists should be condemned. That's not an act of political courage. That's just an act of basic common sense. And it shows you how far we've gotten from where we should be, that this is something that's we can't even count on our AG to do.
You have been critical of Attorney General Schimmel on the rape kits. How overall has he done as an attorney general using the resources of the Department of Justice in Wisconsin?
I think that our Department of Justice right now is broken. We've seen failure after failure on all sorts of issues. We talked earlier about the rape kit backlog and the DNA backlog. You know, I think on the opioid epidemic, we're not doing nearly enough either to target traffickers on the one hand, people sending drugs across county lines and state lines.
How about fentanyl via mail from China? Or is
that
a federal
right.
issue?
No, the state should absolutely be involved in targeting traffickers. Fentanyl, like you said, car fentanyl, both of which are causing all sorts of overdose deaths. Also meth, which is becoming an increasing problem. We've got to go after the traffickers on the enforcement side, because if you want to reduce supply, they're the people you have to target. I saw that in my own experience as a federal prosecutor targeting traffickers.
Let me just ask you, what has he not done that you would have? As much as you disagree with Mr. Schimmel, I'm sure you agree that he probably is against people trafficking in fentanyl and methamphetamines.
I'm sure we would agree that it's a bad thing. What has not happened is the kind of prioritization of that issue that I'd like to see. So first and foremost, I would say that opioid and meth trafficking are our number one drug enforcement priority. That's where our resources should be directed. I also think we should move more assistant AGs in the AG's office to working on dealing with both federal investigators, state investigators, and local law enforcement in identifying the people who are trafficking those drugs and are sending them across state lines, so that we're nipping the distribution chain in the bud at a high level and focused on trying to cut off sources of supply. It's a lot of what I did when I was a federal prosecutor, and I think we need to do more of it and focus more on those drugs in particular. But then we've also got to attack the supply, the demand side of this, rather, by making sure that we're investing in treatment so that people who do become addicted can get the treatment they need to beat their addictions, and fighting for expanded access to health insurance and against efforts to repeal access to health insurance, because without health insurance, you just can't get the treatment you need.
Well, there aren't enough treatment facilities in the state as it is. Republican State Attorney General Mike DeWine, former U.S. Senator in that state, he's doing something kind of interesting. He's going after the drug manufacturers for the way opioids, Percocet, Vicodin, OxyContin, the way they've been distributed. If you had been Attorney General, would you have done something similar? I understand Ohio may have a bigger problem than Wisconsin, but would you have done something like that he's done?
Yes, and that's the other big piece of this slide. There are, DeWine has done this, you're right, and there are other states that have now gone after the opioid manufacturers, the pharmaceutical companies. There are counties and cities that have gone after them, and the allegation is generally that the pharmaceutical companies engaged in false and deceptive marketing practices and oversold the benefits of these drugs and downplayed the harm from the drugs. Now, of course, you want to conduct a careful investigation, and as AG, I'd want to make sure that the evidence was in place before any case was brought, and I certainly would want to prejudge that. But increasingly, the evidence is building up, and Wisconsin is behind the curve on that issue. Around the new year, Schimmel said that the statute of limitations couldn't be stretched that far. Fortunately, he's moved somewhat in the right direction. He's now saying that he's going to be part of a multi-state investigation. But, this is not an issue where we've got lots of time to sit around waiting for things. We should be taking action to hold the people responsible who helped create this problem, and also to help fund the solution to the problem, fund treatment efforts, and fund efforts to target traffickers.
Finally, Republicans and the Wisconsin manufacturers and Commerce were extremely critical of your mother, Peg Lautenschlager, for enforcing Wisconsin's environmental laws. How has Brad Schimmel and J.B. Van Hollen done at enforcing Wisconsin's laws that protect people from hazardous pollution?
I would actually put J.B. Van Hollen and Brad Schimmel in different categories there. Under Brad Schimmel, we have just seen environmental enforcement fall off a cliff. The amount that was collected in fines from polluters in 2016 under Brad Schimmel was just a fraction of what it was under prior AGs, including even J.B. Van Hollen, his Republican predecessor, the longtime head of the Environmental Protection Unit, who served under both Democrats and Republicans, was replaced with somebody who now has gone on to is going to go on to serve in the Trump administration's Environmental Protection Unit. We need to understand that our natural resources are a huge benefit to our state. They help make Wisconsin a great place to live, to hunt, to fish,
prosperous,
to go boating. And that's exactly right. It helps bring businesses to the state. It helps bring people to the state. It's one of our advantages that we can use to grow our economy in the long term. And by not enforcing our environmental laws, we're creating an uneven playing field for business. It means that we're letting some people cut corners when other people, the vast majority of businesses, frankly, are complying with the law. I don't think that that's fair.
Well, you look at the Central Sands region of the state with these deep water drilling and these high capacity wells, and they're draining lakes dry, and that's got having serious consequences for tourism. All right, Josh, I want to make sure that everybody knows how to find you on the web and the internet. Spell your name and what's your website?
We're at joshkaul.org, joshkaul.org.
All right, Josh, thanks for coming on with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Hang on the line a second. All right, Josh Kaul with us. By the way, I probably should have prefaced this. I'm supporting Josh in his bid to become Attorney General. This is SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day, in mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.